So this morning, we're going to read from the Gospel of Mark. We are following along with Adam Hamilton's 24 Hours That Changed the World. We have reflected on the Last Supper, on his time in the Garden in Gethsemane, and this morning we go to the trial. The trial of Jesus by the Sanhedrin, and it's from the 14th chapter of Mark. And aside from what you have on the back of your bulletin, I am adding a verse that I think is important. So let us listen for the word of God. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Jesus was silent and did not answer their questions, but again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You've heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And all of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards also took him over and beat him. And while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But Peter denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt, and then the cock crowed. But again he denied it, and after a little while the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment the cock crowed for a second time, and then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So there are lots of trials and court scenes in Scripture. In fact, way back in the Old Testament, Jethro, the father-in-law to Moses, made the suggestion to Moses to appoint judges because there were just too many cases to hear, too much for Moses to attend to every one. The Apostle Paul also accounts for several court cases. Court scenes culminate in stating the truth, right? And finding the guilty party. They tend to create unity. One reason why mob scenes are common around courtyard proceedings. Well, Jesus was bound when he was taken to that palace of the high priest for the trial where the Sanhedrin were gathered. And the Sanhedrin was a group that was made up of the high priests, the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. So these were all the high temple officials, and their job was to hold and keep the community accountable. In formal legal proceedings, the Sanhedrin were called on. They were functioned mainly for serious cases, especially those cases that would require to enact the death penalty. But here in the courtyard of the high priest, they interrogated Jesus. And the scriptures this morning say that there were many that testified against him, although their accusations were false and inconsistent. And the law required that at least two witnesses witness the same thing so that they could accuse them of the crime and convict the person of the crime. Jesus was charged with blasphemy. They especially hadn't liked a statement that he had made earlier about in 3 days the temple will be torn down and then raised up again in 3 days. See, Jesus spoke with an authority that challenged their own authority. So think about this for a minute. Jesus was rejected by the leadership in the temple, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders. Jesus was rejected by the leadership in the temple, but even after they convicted him, they sent him to Pilate to be condemned to death. The followers that Jesus had chosen, the disciples, were silent through this time. The followers that Jesus had chosen were among those at the trial, or at least within earshot. I read to you that Peter had followed them into the courtyard where the high priest trial took place. We need to pay attention to that. You know, Peter did his very best to be present with Jesus. He was taking a huge risk to enter that courtyard. He put his life in danger going there, though he did not come forward to speak up on Jesus' behalf. But I guess we need to remember that Jesus was silent during his trial as well, silent as they accused him. But there in the courtyard of the high priest, as Jesus was refusing to answer his accusers, when they finally asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" here's what he gave them. First he said, "I am." Now, "I am" would have been very important words for all those who were standing to hear. Those are the words of God. That's the name God gave to Moses out of the burning bush, telling Moses, you know, to tell the Israelites that it's "I am" who is sending you. In the reality of it, the deeper meaning of "I am" translated and interpreted is this: I am the source of all life, who is the cause of all life. He was telling the Sanhedrin he was God. That's blasphemy. Jesus then quoted from Daniel that the Son of Man would come down from the clouds of heaven, and finally illuminated a very familiar Hebrew prayer, part of Psalm 101, when Jesus told the Sanhedrin that they would see him at the right hand of God. So these three allusions that Jesus made evokes that accusation of blasphemy. He told everyone in that courtyard he was God, and everyone in that courtyard hear it. There were plenty more than two witnesses there, so they had all they needed to convict Jesus. Note that the high priest tears his garment. This is a sign of mourning, that the death sentence had been passed. Just like when Jacob tore his clothes when Joseph didn't come home after his brothers sold him into slavery, and when David tore his garment after his best friend Jonathan had died. The high priest acknowledged that the grief that goes with the judgment that would destroy a person's life. The Sanhedrin clearly rejected God's plan for salvation. They blindfolded Jesus and beat him with sticks. In our world today, false arrests are realities, right? As crime rates have risen, we also indict more and more potentially innocent people. You've all heard those kind of stories. DNA evidence may be a very important contribution to counterbalance that risk. But beyond courtroom law, we ourselves, we who are Christian, pass judgment every day in our hearts, don't we? Pass judgment every single day in our hearts. It seems like we're always looking for a culprit, for someone to blame. I want you to consider that story of Jesus in John when he goes to heal the blind man, the blind beggar who'd stood at the gate all those years. And the disciples see this blind man, and they don't say to Jesus, "Boy, can you do something to help him? Can you offer him mercy? Can you heal this man?" What do they ask Jesus? They ask Jesus, "Who was it that sinned that this man was born blind? Was it him or was it his parents?" Looking to place blame, looking for a culprit, trying to cast negative light, trying to condemn rather than to find ways to help another become a new creation. Or consider the woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus bends down and asks among the crowd, you know, who among them is without sin? Remember, the law said that two witnesses were needed for that death penalty. They wanted to stone the woman. Jesus taught that condemning another person comes with a price. Condemning another makes a judgment on the accuser. Henry Nouwen is a Catholic priest and teacher, and died a few years ago. And he wrote this. He said, you know, the Desert Fathers said that judging others is a very heavy burden, while being judged by others is a light one. Once we can let go of our need to judge others, we will experience an immense inner freedom. Once we are free from judging, we will also be free for mercy. Jesus was condemned by the righteous. The irony is that God sent his only Son so that those who believe would be saved through him. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Here's the thing. The church has a responsibility to extend Christ's loving, merciful, and just presence into the world. And the church is being judged today. Worship attendance is one of the ways we are being judged. Fewer and fewer people find the message of the church as having any relevance. Are we sitting silently like Jesus at his trial? Or are we to be witnesses to a life-giving love that offers new life for all? Have we, like Peter, denied Jesus at a time when we are needed to speak up? Sometimes the church denies the power of God's love as we look at others, as we decide who to serve, who to teach, who to invite to worship, and who to ignore. The Sanhedrin rejected Jesus. Jesus chose followers with questionable backgrounds to be those who would learn and grow and follow him and carry on his work. Jesus wanted those who wanted transformation in their lives. And it wasn't easy then. Just ask Peter. And it's not really any easier now, is it? So I need to speak about a group of young people. Who are seeking transformation in our world. A group who this last week were anything but silent. Invisible children who have not looked on silently at the brutality laid upon the children of Central Africa by a man named Joseph Kony and his army, the Lord's Resistance Army. This is a group who, by their very name, are using the Lord to condemn innocent people. Now, at present, it's estimated that there are about 400 members of the LRA. They terrorize innocent victims who abduct children. They use the boys and teach them how to use guns and kill other people, including their parents. And they use the girls as their sex slaves. And this group called Invisible Children let the world know about this week in a film that was released, Kony 2012. How many watched it this week? How many heard about it this week? And y'all know that part of my passion and understanding for this group comes from a long history of knowing who they are. 8 years ago, their founders went to Africa and learned about this child soldier issue. And their primary intent when they returned home was to raise awareness of the plight of these children through journalism, through film. That was the one sole purpose, was to raise awareness of this issue so that others in the world might care. What they have done since that time is have started a movement of young people who are interested and concerned about what's happening in this world. And these young people are standing up and they are using their voices and saying, we are no longer going to stand for this kind of behavior in our world. There will no longer be genocide in our world. They are a generation that is willing to stand up and speak loudly and clearly. And they did that this week through their film. Now, you know, Jay, our son, was one of the film editors and did a lot of the filming that was involved. And so it is near and dear and true to my heart. So I apologize for... No, I don't. I'm so very proud that there is a movement of young people who are interested and concerned in what's happening in our world today. Now, the good news is y'all are going to have an opportunity to meet some of these folks from Uganda. They will be here April 19th. You will be able to meet some of the young people who have been standing behind this movement. We will be showing the film here at Wesley April 19th at 7 o'clock. I have been in relationship and building relationship with a principal at Mount Vernon High School. Mount Vernon High School is screening the same film on April 27th, and their PTA has sent out an announcement that any interested parents can come here to watch this film. This is an opportunity for us to be welcoming and relevant for our community, to help people come in and understand that this is a place that we care about the concerns of our youth and the concerns of our world. It's time for us to get really loud, church. It's time for us to speak up on behalf of Jesus Christ. It is time for us to offer love and mercy for those who are in need and not just sit back silently and let people be condemned and let people be beaten and stricken and pushed down. And it's happening in our own neighborhood, and it's happening clear across the world. And it's time for the church to stand up, and it's time for us to speak. It's time for us to protect the innocent. It's time for us to extend God's love and mercy. It's time for the church to get loud about the relevant issues. Let's begin counting others as more important than ourselves. Let's not be silent about the things that we know are wrong. let's not be silent about Jesus and about His love. It's time to dance. It's time to dance with the Lord of the dance. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank You so much for the presence of Christ in our lives. Help us to understand that judging others to condemnation is not what the church is to be about. Help us to be those who offer life-giving opportunities for those who are being beaten and struck down. Move us to speak up rather than be silent. May we become a place of relevance where young people know that their voices will be heard, where we can begin to move and make a real difference in the lives of others, whether we are collecting shoes for Honduras, whether we are raising funds for mission, whether we are teaching our young children. Help us to be those who offer a relevant word for our community today. May we continue to grow in Your grace, but may we step beyond our needs and look to the needs of others. Strengthen us to do this work, Lord. Provide all that we need. Build up our leadership. Pour out Your Spirit upon each and every one of our hearts that we might be ever attentive to the opportunity to speak. And may You guard our hearts against judging others, whether it be a simple case of poking fun or whether it be making a judgment against someone who really is in need. May we grow in Your grace, O Lord. May we follow You and do as You have done for us. Amen.